B-Pod Studios.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tree Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Starting at 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. All right, Rich, what's going on?
You know, I like to think of this show as more of a, it's more than just an entertainment show. It's more than just one that brings the yucks and brings the sports to you, but one that also provides a public service to the community. Whenever there is any doubt, whenever there is justice that needs to be doled out, decisions that need to be made on important things, we are the ones that you call. That is why, thanks to the overwhelming amount of requests I had this weekend for us to make a decision, ladies and gentlemen, Fart Court is now in order.
All right. All right, everyone, put on your white wigs.
Hear ye,
I think I know where we're going with this.
It's now in session.
All right, it is... Something that has to be taken very seriously,
in which we deem whether or not the person in question has indeed farted on live television. This week, we go to the Wendy Williams Show. If you don't know the Wendy Williams Show, that probably means you work for a living.
That's right.
She is the queen of daytime television. I think she's on like 1 in the afternoon, maybe 11 in the morning. Not quite sure. Just when most people are working.
Right. She's on like when Friends is on.
She is. And apparently on Friday's show, she was discussing the Odell Beckham Jr. situation. You remember where Odell Beckham Jr. saw a police
smacked
officer.
Smacked a fanny of the officer.
Smacked a fanny of a police officer.
Now, by the way, those charges have been dropped.
Those charges have indeed been dropped since then. But she was on her show discussing the entire situation and the scenario, and she was sitting in a very sensible chair.
Now, she's alone.
Alone in front of a studio audience.
Is it like a monologue?
So, like, doing a monologue.
So, it's not a boom mic operator. It's not a cameraman.
And at one point, there was a very obvious lean to the left. Wendy Williams. Is this indeed a fart? That's the sound of Fred cracking his knuckles.
Let me make sure my headphones are on right. Here we go.
Odell, at 27 years old, you're old enough to understand political correctness in the times that we live now. You can't just slap people on the booty. Yeah, of course, he probably knows it's not right for...
All right, before we get to the fart, she sounds like she's under some sort of... duress.
Right, like she's holding in her diaphragm
right, right.
a little bit.
Like she's like, yeah.
Oh, no.
You can tell she's a little uncomfortable.
The, like, the slight shortness of breath, maybe?
Yes, yes. And I'm not making that up.
Okay.
So this is all going to go into evidence. But she does...
Exhibit A!
She does sound like that she is a little uncomfortable. Okay.
Odell, at 27 years old, you're old enough to understand political correctness in the times that we live now. You can't just slap people on the booty. Yeah, of course, he probably knows it's not right from a man to a woman or a woman to a man, but you can't even do that locker room thing. That cop wasn't playing that. I mean, you're lucky.
they probably had to get her out of there pretty quickly after that.
Ooh. Her eyes almost crossed.
Oh, man.
Like, she leaned and just... You can see the water.
Her plan went off. Her plan went off. She was trying her best to stop it.
Oh.
But it kept coming. Oh, that's... Because usually they're not as restrained.
We might have a Hall of Famer on our hands.
Yeah.
All right. Stop the music. All right. Well, let's listen to this one more time in its entirety.
Here we go. All right. We will hear if this is really a fart.
Odell, at 27 years old, you're old enough to understand political correctness in the times that we live now. You can't just slap people on the booty. Of course, he probably knows it's not right from a man to a woman or a woman to a man, but you can't even do that locker room thing. That cop wasn't playing that. I mean, you're lucky you only got battery. What if he filed for sexual assault? You can't just slap people in the booty.
How ironic. Well, talk. Let's play it again. Because you can make the argument that it's her talking, but who talks like that?
No. Because then she's one hell of a ventriloquist. Because her mouth is shut. And then I think she's trying to kind of hum over it near the end. And like she's got the ones in the turntables kind of fading it into her speaking.
Is there no turnaround? What's the turnaround? What's the turnaround on this show?
All right, we need a judgment. We need a judgment. Does Vibe Call smell at all?
No. No.
Or is this done with the jury in the room here?
I think it's unanimous in the room.
No, wait, for forensic purposes, I'll slow it down.
Okay, we slow it down?
All right, here we go.
I mean, you're looking.
She's like groaning.
Oh. I mean,
617-779-0985.
Why not?
Why not?
A jury of her peers.
Wendy Williams.
Hey, that's my idea.
You can't just slap people on the booty.
Oh, so it's at the New York Post. Wendy Williams rips OBJ while ripping a fart.
All right. By the way, full phone line. Brian, go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey,
absolute fart. She actually paused in speaking while doing that, so that was a little bit of a concentrated effort to muffle it, so that was the absolute fart.
Oh, yes. Right. Juryman number one.
Well, guilty. That's all the jurymen we're going to get on that, as it is.
What say you, Mr. Juryman John Wallach? Fart or not fart?
Oh, hell yes.
Guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Okay. Mr. Fred Toucher, fart or non-fart? Guilty or not guilty?
What was that again?
You're lucky you only got battery.
Antonio Brown, what do you say about this?
A rule, wet and wild.
Well,
I'm not sure it was a fart, but it was coming out of somewhere.
As the eldest juror here, I shall say... guilty on all counts! She is a farting machine!
All right, well,
judge this thy wettest fart in the history of fart court!
That one is very unique, because usually there's sudden bursts.
No, this was one where, as it was going, there was confusion as to how am I going to handle this in bewilderment, and you just saw the water kind of go up into her eyes.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
And there was some kind of gurgling, too, I'm telling you. It's just, you don't hear that much.
There was a fairly large inhale, too,
yeah.
About several
well,
seconds beforehand.
Well, my strategy in school sometimes when I farted was if you inhaled enough, the fart would go into your own body and not be smelled by others.
Is that what it would be?
That was my thing.
You didn't try to do the cough thing? Because the cough is a disastrous method to do it.
Because
sometimes you cough
louder.
And it just fires it out. Then it just sounds like ricochet.
Plus, you're drawing attention to yourself.
Wendy Williams. There's a girl I know that went well. What's the kink? you like fart?
Larry Flint's got like a top hat on.
This is fart obsessed Larry Flint.
Well, you come into his palace and he goes, what's your pleasure? You like to fart? Come over here to the left. I got a fart for you.
Scott Zolak, what do you think about this?
I'm looking at San Francisco right now as being a front runner to get Josh.
Yeah. He still denies, by the way.
Which is unbelievable.
He still denies.
That you totally did.
Yeah, but like, why would you even care? I farted a million. Funny.
Like human beings do.
No. It's not something that I don't approve of the women farting.
Well, Nancy Grace has done it, so I mean.
Come on over here, Princess Nancy. What a gift to be able to share that footage forever with your twins. Do you think he did them proud tonight?
I hope so. I saw them several times during the dance, and they were smiling so big.
Well, let's see if the judges can give us something to smile about after this very emotional
night.
That
one had vowels in it. That was a word.
Well, she had to admit it, and that one was great, because if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Nancy Grace, the public perception of her is that she's awful. This was her chance to get all gussied up.
They called her Princess Nancy.
Yeah, and then her twins, I guess she has twins, and they're in the audience, and here I am, everyone, I'm like a good person, and then her body just went not so fast.
We will not let you enjoy this moment.
The twins were her rectum and intestine. Well, all right.
They were smiling so big.
Because I don't even know if that's something. Like her stomach or a fart. That's just something. It's her body going, ah, you're no princess, honey. Oh, very good. Here are some commercials to cleanse your palate.
You can't just slap people on the booty.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rodgers back. Pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Devontae Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down, and the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl. What a way to end it, with a deep shot to Devontae Adams, and it is Richard Sherman who makes the interception.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and that is the sound of the 49ers in a game that was not terribly exciting. Winning the NFC Championship, a far more exciting game was the AFC Championship, and where they just showed that it was an experiment on how much a running back could take. Derrick Henry, an unfair amount of abuse.
Yeah.
The wear that he has put on his body is probably worth, that postseason is probably equal to a season.
I mean,
for
it's
most running backs.
Utterly insane. I believe it was 3 games in a row up to that point where he had run over 200 yards. And I mean, also, you know, give Kansas City's defense a little bit of credit. They did a really good job shutting him down. I mean, he run for 70 yards, just over 70 yards?
Right around there.
Which is, I mean, if you could have told me that they were going to hold him to 70 yards, I wouldn't have believed you, seeing the way he'd been playing. And I think
it's got to be a little demoralizing to have an 8.5-minute drive where you throw to a lineman – You score, and then Kansas City just goes, okay.
You've embarrassed Kansas City in the worst way possible. A long drive, and then you throw a touchdown pass touchdown. To a 350-pound guy.
Who is the largest ever, heaviest ever player to catch a touchdown in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the postseason? Wow.
Yes.
Well, did you hear that nugget?
I did hear that nugget. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
I did hear it, and then Kansas City was like, all right, it's time to start. It's time to start trying.
Yeah, and then Kansas City just went.
It's kind of scary. That's true.
We have eight guys that run under a 4.340, so just here.
I just
enjoy.
Here's a reason why I will never be a professional gambler. Despite the bankroll was, by the way, doing a good job. They always say in the UFC cards, always pick the underdog, and they won me some money this weekend. So good for them. They were right. The majority of the underdogs,
couple of real long shots came in, right?
They did. Couple of real long shots came in. So they did that. But I'm taking a look at the line. And right now, it went from Kansas City favored by one to it's now around 1.5. And to me, that just seems wrong. I have a feeling this is going to be a game where Kansas City is going to win. I think they're going to win by at least a touchdown. I mean, as good as the defense of the 49ers is, Fred, you said it best, and you've seen it, that what that offense is, they're so damn fast, and Mahomes just makes plays that shouldn't be there. And there's very few players that can do what he is doing, and in that system, too. He flourishes. He's absolutely perfect.
Well, I mean, you can and Andy Reid has a coaching advantage, I feel, because 49ers are a defensive team, and Andy Reid is one of the few people that probably could pick that apart.
I just don't know. I don't think they can obviously count on the fact that they're going to have a guy that runs for four touchdowns in one game. I don't think that they're going to have to rely on that. And so
I don't believe I had ever heard of before.
So in the end, Garoppolo is going to have to throw, and I just don't see the 49ers offense outscoring Kansas City's. It just seems like as good as a defense as they are, Kansas City's going to find a way to score at least their average, 33 points a game that they've had all season long?
Again, the idea is that you establish a running game. The idea is that you eat up clock. The idea is that you take the ball out of Mahomes' hands, and Tennessee did just that, and then it didn't matter.
And the over-under seems fairly low. It's at 51 points.
Yeah, I think you're not giving the San Francisco defense enough credit.
No, they've been very good, but this is
Kansas City's offense, and all of you are right that their skill players run crazy. Tyreek Hill runs a 4.2, whatever Tyreek Hill runs. But I think that San Francisco defense can slow them down enough that their ball control offense will work. I think the over-under's fine. Look, the bankroll boys will probably go against me on this, but I think this is going to be a lower scoring Super Bowl. I think the defense for San Francisco is going to do well enough to keep the score in the teens or low 20s. And I give San Francisco a good chance to win.
Well, I don't like the wrangle.
You don't like the wrangle?
We don't even know who the refs are. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a feeling there's going to be a wrangle.
If it's Corrente, then you might have something, right?
You're sniffing a wrangle.
I'm sniffing a wrangle.
Oh, by the way, there was a video that, man, everyone tweeted yesterday and was like, sending, oh, now we know that the fix is in. I believe it was the Kansas City game. And it was where right at the snap, one of the refs threw a flag. Like, he had his hand on the flag and he was ready to throw it. And people were saying that it was for holding. It's like, look at this. The fix is in. He threw it right at the snap that there was a holding call. But what nobody did, literally, and this got picked up by like a bunch of people, like a bunch of like check marks were retweeting it. That call ended up being for an illegal formation. So everyone, once again, it's stuff on the internet. Nobody takes 2 seconds to check and see whether or not it's true what you're retweeting. But if you'd have just watched the play, you'd have seen it was an illegal formation thing. He ended up picking up the flag because of that afterwards. But he had his hand on the flag because he saw an illegal formation, wanted to see if they were actually going to snap the ball. And sure enough, as soon as they did it, boom, it was gone.
That's why there's a wrangle.
It's always a wrangle.
Because these guys are ready to throw it.
Always a wrangle.
But again, I can't say enough about how much I want Andy Reid to win something. He is a man who is going to do interviews in a Hawaiian shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's true.
I mean, he when he goes to warm climates, he does dress like a nice fat guy, like at a, Jimmy Buffett eatery. So, I mean, he'll be wearing his shirts. He'll be having the time of his life. And it, God bless him. And after the Super Bowl, I can only imagine the meal that he'll have. Because, again, I was told that he has 2 steaks at a time.
I mean, listen, maybe he put in a request for instead of the normal hotel they would stay in, it's Miami. You could just stay on one of the cruise ships they have there. It's got like, you know, those all-you-can-eat buffets. he's like in Andy Reid Heaven.
Park a Carnival cruise line right here.
I mean, he's the best.
Fired up. Fired up to go to Miami. Need to get on a diet so I can fit in my clothes so we can go do our thing. But very proud.
Listen, other than Andy Reid, because I like you, it would be cool to see him win. Although it would be really funny if he loses because of bad clock management.
Well, like it wouldn't be the first time.
That would be funny. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I don't know what would be funnier. The Chiefs losing because of bad clock management or for the 49ers to be up like 28-3 and then Kansas City come back and beat them.
Far more
and then you've
likely.
Got Shanahan on the other side. Two of the worst comebacks in Super Bowl history being responsible for.
I think the second is the far more likely of the scenarios because if I'm San Francisco and I'm up 28-3, I'm saying this could go away quick. I mean, they could take care of this in half a quarter.
Sure. I mean, you saw them do it. You saw them do it 2 weeks ago. They were down by 10. But there's moments when Kansas City plays where there's one play that just makes you go, all right, well, they're not losing this game. And yesterday was that Patrick Mahomes scramble that was utterly ridiculous. And he's responsible for several miracle plays a season that make you go, oh, my God, this guy's extra special. But people were losing their minds and going overboard after that play. As I said, Rich Eisen yesterday after that scramble said it should have been in NFL's top 100 plays of all time. And we're like, all right, easy. There's probably 5-6 better plays this season. I think that, as I said, I think that Deshaun Watson won at the end of the Texans win.
Lamar
the
Jackson.
First round was even better.
Lamar Jackson has a handful by himself.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson.
It's not like they needed that play. That was, in fact, I thought he was dumb to keep continuing it. I'm like, why don't you just throw the ball away? And then he did what he did. But that wasn't like fourth down or anything. I mean, they had an opportunity to score after that, but it was... Yeah, it was a nice play. It was an interesting play. It was showed his athleticism, but no, I don't think that. I think that Rich Eisen got a little ahead of himself.
Yeah, I just don't know.
On TV, they said it was one of the best plays of the postseason or of the year.
I think they said of the year.
Of the year.
I mean, it was a top 10 play of the year.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair to say.
I mean, yeah. But I mean, I think Eisen got a little ahead of himself.
Got a little excited.
He realizes he doesn't have any place to do his radio show from anymore.
Andy Reid, what do you think about the catering that they're going to have down there at the Super Bowl? Thank you, Andy.
That's right. The audience network is off the air.
Yeah.
No more Rich Eisen. I forgot about that.
Like Rich Eisen, I don't think he's even on the radio.
No, he is. He's on the radio in a lot of different... Go look it up during the break. You'll see where he is.
Is he on an FM station?
I believe he is, yes.
All I know is that he's friends with Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains, very strangely. And,
there you go.
Listen, for that, I'll give him credit.
A lot of these guys are big football fans. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 8:50. Your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Memphis Grizzlies this Wednesday from Raptors. All new members only area on level 9 at TD Garden. Go to tdgarden.com/Raptors to learn about a Raptors membership. Now, Rich, Kyrie Irving is getting more and more bizarre.
That's right. He is a strange man. Kyrie Irving, about 4 or 5 days ago, spoke to the press. It was one of the first times he had spoken after a game. I don't know if it was his first game back or his second game back, but they had just lost to the 76ers. And he, I think, was fourth on the team in points.
Yeah.
He found out or he figured rather that this was his time to crap on everyone on the team that wasn't named Kyrie Irving. In so many words, he said that the team needed to make more moves to get some better players around him, and essentially said that, you know, everyone else is expendable on his team. In so many words, in the cocky way that he did it, and that he's done it so many times before. So after this game on Saturday night, a reporter asked him to kind of clarify what he said because he got a ton of backlash. Like, are you really going to talk about the other players in your team this way with such disregard? And Kyrie Irving, once again, just couldn't help being Kyrie Irving.
You know, at the end of the day, I always say it's an entertainment league. You know, we're very drama filled. We, you know, everything regurgitates on all these media platforms, which is part of our society. I can't really do anything about it, you know, except really be, you know, a pillar in our locker room, be very communicative. And when I'm out there with the guys, just impact winning. You know, that's really what it comes down to. You know, it's not like I'm a yelling at everybody in the freaking locker room all the time, and you hear all these stories, you know. And at the end of the day, my name, it was given to me by my grandfather. I'm very grateful, but it's in a lot of people's mouths all the time, and it is what it is. I've earned that respect in terms of how great I am as a player, and there's still more goals I want to accomplish in this league, and I can't do it without improving an organization and winning a championship, and that's what it comes down to. So I'm going to continue to push. I'm going to continue to demand greatness out of myself and demand greatness out of my teammates, and we go from there. If it's harsh as a leader or it's too much for anybody, you're not in our locker room, stay the f*** out. It's as simple as that.
His whole thing is like, it's entertainment, and then you go, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then he ends up saying, well, that now it's personal.
Okay, so it's entertainment. All right, so it is entertainment, and it should be treated as such. So if I'm Joaquin Phoenix, and I'm a movie with Tom Hanks, and I go, Tom Hanks is a piece of crap. Now, is that's entertainment? Is that not worth discussing? Is that not insulting to the person of which you are working with?
Right. I would say that. I mean,
if I'm in a band and I get on stage and I'm like in Skid Row. No, but if I'm in a band and I get on stage and I go, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, this band sucks.
Yeah. Dave the Snake Sabo's been late for practice.
Yeah. Sabo's, he's got his ring got stuck in his
nipple
and everything else. But while I was looking at us, he had a ring that would get attached to his ear.
Nose to ear.
I see.
Yeah.
Hey, that's attractive. Yes. And but then it wasn't Dave the Snake. Snake was Sabo. He was on the geese. but I mean, yes, that's entertainment. Entertainment is watching the interaction between people.
But then there's this, Fred. So a writer for Yahoo Sports was, you know, talking about that clip right there where he goes, well, the people who don't know me in the locker room, then, you know, get the F out. You don't know. So somebody said, how is he in the locker room? And there is an article that was written by a guy named Michael Lee of The Athletic. He covers the Nets. And he put this in here. He said, Kyrie Irving was getting dressed in the visitor's locker room at the Wells Fargo Center on Wednesday when he decided to share some Nets history with Kyrie LeVert, who was standing nearby. Quote, it's not a coincidence that the last time the Nets won a title, they were led by Julius Irving, Irving said, referencing the two ABA titles Hall of Famer Julius Irving won with the then New York Nets in 1974 and 76. And now we have another Irving. I'm just saying. The implication was that the Brooklyn Nets were eventually going to win it all again because they employed another player whose name was pronounced the same. Irving was half serious, half joking, but LeVert was fully confused. Realizing that LeVert wasn't really feeling his name theory, Irving tried to enlist support from Theo Pinson. Then he called out, he said, I'm just saying, Irving, the Mercurial All-Star point guard turned defense attorney said, making his case to no avail. How do you spell his name? Pinson responded, hoping that Irving would realize just how silly he was being with the Dr. J chatter and just stop. He's with an E, Irving said, acknowledging the difference. But how do you say it? Irving smiled and nodded. He wouldn't relent. His teammates wouldn't either. Laughter ended the discussion. What a dick.
Good, though. Like, good for the teammates.
And
good.
LeVert got back to singing Sweet, Sweet Soul. But
can you imagine comparing yourself to Doc? Yeah, that's right, with LeVert.
That's right. Concert.
I just think of John Wallach with his, you know.
I saw them in concert. Right.
Of course right. He did.
Time out.
I did.
All right. So
they opened for Bobby Brown, Syracuse.
Okay, so when LeVert plays live,
Does he sit in a chair?
Is it just like one guy?
No. Laverne, I believe, is a family.
Okay, they're
Gerald, I believe, is the lead singer, okay. But it's a family.
All right. He's the guy in all the album covers.
Now, yes. Who were you at the show with?
I was with a bunch of my friends. We went. I was in college at the time. It was a bunch of my friends. There were six of us there. Now, had floor seats, baby.
Okay, so how do you behave when Laverne's on stage?
There were a lot. It was a lot of drunken madness. It was.
At the Laverne show?
Yes. No, Laverne opened. It was at the Brown show.
No, I understand.
And by the way, you know who the third guy on the bill was? Albie Shore.
Yeah,
it was the three of them.
And so you and your friends all just goes like.
Now, look, you got to keep in mind that I went to a school that was in a town that was in the middle of nowhere, Geneva, New York. Syracuse was the closest big city, if you want to call it, right, to where we were.
This is your goatee years, right?
Yes, it was.
Did you have like the fluffy white pirate shirt?
No.
Show up with?
If it had helped me get laid, I would have bought one.
So
he had the suit jacket with pads in it.
No,
that was right around no jacket required.
Were you wearing a suit jacket?
I was not.
Okay, but you were wearing like a silk shirt.
I don't remember, but it might have. I might have.
All right. Were you guys like looking to Mac on some like Syracuse?
Yes, we were. Struck out in a mate. This is Heavy D and the Boys.
That's nothing
to do with this.
Oh, you need something a little sexier? Is that what you need? All right. Well.
Give me some Color Me Bad and we're talking.
Oh, I mean Color Me Bad. Now, what about
now, did you own a Color Me Bad album?
I did not.
Okay. Who is this?
George Clinton, right?
No!
I have no idea who this is.
It's Blackstreet.
All right.
Why must I chase the cat?
Blackstreet was
that
much later.
That means women.
Now, wait a second. So even after Brenda and Jenny Garth went to and broke into Color Me Bad's hotel room,
yes,
you still would not buy the album?
I did not buy the album, no.
Okay. All right, so...
okay.
Now, is this kind of a little more?
Early 90s. Here
this,
we go.
I always liked this band because they were all ugly.
Right, it was like the United Colors of Benetton ugly. Yeah. It was like everyone was, like every nationality was represented. You got an ugly fat white guy. You got an ugly guy over here. And it didn't matter.
They had like this mixed race ugly guy. Like that. They just was fat with glasses. They just like let him be.
Right. It was like a fat Arvid.
Yeah. Like no one, they didn't really put a lot of pressure on them to look good.
You're right. No. And I wonder if it actually worked for them. If you were like that sultry.
I'll give it to the record company for signing them based, because that had to be based solely on their performance. But back to Kyrie Irving, yes. I would imagine at a certain point as a adult, superior athlete, that gets exceptionally old.
Well, the other part of it, don't forget, and the story just kind of brings it into harsh relief, is that the Brooklyn Nets understand what's going on. Everyone else in that locker room understands what's going on. They all understand that Kyrie is an idiot, and they don't take his crap too seriously.
Well, here's the deal, is that you have to think about it, and it's a funny, it's just started to occur to me over the last couple of years. Like, these guys are all, like, been the best. The sixth man on the Nets, you know, has been the best. I mean, he was the best. I mean, he's a freakish athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He's been the best. He's been courted. He's been treated like a king.
Right.
And then you come in, and I understand that there's guys like, okay, you know, LeBron's different because he's
the best in the world.
Yeah. Maybe the best of all time.
You step back and you do whatever LeBron tells you to do because you know it's great for your career.
Right.
Kyrie Irving is not that guy.
And so and especially since all those guys have overachieved. So yeah, if Kyrie Irving comes in and starts acting like that, I'm not buying. Why would I defer to you? Go screw yourself.
Right, look what you did with the Celtics.
Like, if you don't want to go to practice,
that's the problem. You had a good shot because Brooklyn played the Celtics four times last year. Mm-hmm. You had a real close view to see how dysfunctional that Celtic team was.
But my point is this, is that, like, okay, if you're a star and you want to miss practice or something, that's not my business. Go about your business. Mm-hmm. Like, if you get treated differently, maybe we talk about it behind your back, but I'm not. But if you start coming up to me and telling me how great you are, go F yourself. Mm-hmm. You're so great. I'm getting paid too. I imagine listening to that moron sit there and talk like that. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to mention something because it's on TV. Did you see yesterday Rob Lowe when they showed him in the audience during the second game?
Yes.
Did you see the hat he was rocking? NFL.
Yeah. Because
just a fan of the league.
Well, he's got a show coming out.
I like ball.
It's got the shield on. He just loves the sport.
I think he has a show coming out like just called like FBI.
No, 911.
It's called Fire Time.
No, it's Dallas 911 or something like
yeah,
that.
So like it's the most generic show. So they
just like his hats.
Well, listen, he can't show that he favors one team over the other
because if you're there to like promote your thing, you don't want to piss off the Kansas City fans. Right. I mean, listen, you know, I love the NFL.
You know,
he's just like, he's still like, my favorite sports team is Brian.
He goes like, oh God, I got to go to the stupid game. And
you know, what am I doing in Kansas City?
Like, well, I got to sit here in Kansas City.
It's 11 degrees outside.
Yeah, I'm just rooting for good sportsmanship.
If I'm Rob Lowe, I'm like, really, dude? Like, I've been doing this for four decades. I still look like I'm 20. I'm like, I gotta go out here and sit in this crap. Because he's like, you know, he's like, tell me when I'm on camera. I'll clap politely.
You couldn't have sent me to San Francisco? I mean, honest to God.
No,
I think it was San Francisco. It was the San Francisco.
I thought it was a Kansas City.
Yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. It's a Fox show.
Right. Yeah, whatever.
Fire Time.
So I mean, whatever. I just. They make him go, and I good for him. What hat do you want me to put on? Tell me when to clap.
That's right.
That I'm getting out of here.
I'll dance. I'll dance for you.
Well, what do you want me to do? I mean, you gave me some dumb show. I'll take it. Can you imagine sitting down and going, like, I got to see this show?
Okay. I am going to, if I want to look in the crowd of the Super Bowl and see if anyone's wearing an NFL hat. Just NFL. You know, next sporting event, I go, I bet you can't find one of those in the wild. I bet you can't, like, go to a store
hat. You can go online and buy one.
Well, yeah, but I mean, who's, like, has anyone ever in the history, who didn't work for the NFL in the history of the sport, ever wear an NFL hat?
Well, if you just appreciate the game and you don't want to show any favoritism, like, I'm just a fan of the league. I figured they could use some money. So I just bought one of these caps. All right. At least they let John Hamm wear the Cardinal cap. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
they let Paul Rudd wear the Kansas City cap.
Stuff, but you can't hate Paul Rudd for anything.
No, he's actually, he for some reason, does the Tim and Eric show.
He does. There's a lot of big stars that have just kind of put their toe in the water.
I guess they just are around. Karma 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Memphis Grizzlies this Wednesday from Rafters, the all-new members-only area on level 9 of the TD Garden. Go to tdgarden.com/Rafters to learn about a Rafters member.
I'll be there tonight. That's right.
All right. So we'll be right back.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
I can't think that could be interesting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You pretty much do what you've done all.
And if you could advise him right now, what would be the one piece of advice you would give him?
Well, I think a lot of it is you pretty much do what you've done all year to this point. You know, you've got to this point with an incredible team playing really great complementary football. And, you know, it's not about doing something different. It's just about going out and just having really good, solid execution. So a lot of the prep, I think the distractions can really come the week of the game and not necessarily at the game itself, because that becomes really second nature. So if there's anything I would advise people, it's the week, not to get caught up in all the different things that you can do and the media obligations and to overhype it. But at this point, in game week, you know, you're pretty much in game mode and the preparations are what they are, and you've got to go out there and compete and be the best you could be for your team.
Another insightful answer on the Jim Gray interview by Mr. Tom Brady.
Jim Gray saying, hey, what advice would you give Jimmy Garoppolo? He goes, I'm going to say nothing.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you do. You be you.
You're playing great complimentary football. I just talked to my wife, by the way, and I am to have sex with her this morning.
Ah, very nice.
Really? You guys discussed this? Like, when I get home, we're going to go do this?
I was reminded that last night I had made an agreement that while the kids are away, that I will...
you got talked into it.
The parents will play.
You got talked into it, is what you're saying.
I was like looking forward to coming home, and I got leftover pizza.
Nope. You said you can't have both.
That's a good point. Bring it into the bedroom.
She gets home. Oh, like Costanza when he's eating.
Sure.
I've been binge-watching Seinfeld, so... I always have one at the top of my head. So.
Now, does she tell you by emoji or is it words?
I called her because I need to figure out what we're going to do when the kids get home from their crap today. And so then she reminded me that we are to have sex. And I was like, okay.
How far in advance does she have to give you notice for this to happen?
It'd be nice if I had a few days, but I haven't done anything... at my leisure in some time, so I think that...
Oh, so this will be quick, is what you're saying?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Okay.
No. 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 Never quick. Mm-hmm. Never quick. Quick for her, not quick for me.
Ah.
No.
She's got that mind control.
Oh, that's right. Stephanie's
now it's a curse, that. Now that I'm married.
Yeah.
Curse.
It'd be...
All right, what did you got?
Well, this is just something I thought was a nugget that breaking news as of 6 o'clock this morning. Actually, apparently Romeo Crennel is going to be let go in Houston. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll get the band back together. Steve, you haven't been doing as good enough of a job. Let's get Romeo here. No, he is apparently, according to Ian Rappaport, that he's not expected to return. He could retire. But they said that there is a chance that they might be able to bring him back as like a assistant in some sort of way. But right now,
like a funny twin to Andy Reid.
He's old though. I mean,
yeah, I know. But him and Andy Reid kind of the same.
Andy Reid's got to be like younger than we think. He can't be in his 70s yet, right?
Oh no. I would have
bet. Because Crennel's, I think, 70. Dan was at 72 in my headset.
Andy Reid, I'm going to guess Andy Reid is...
You got to guess, Rich, too, yeah.
...is 59 years old.
I'm going to say he's 63.
John? He's not paying attention.
I am paying attention. 66.
He's 61 years old.
Oh!
Nice.
Right, it was close. He looks older than 61 years old.
Well, I mean, when he did punt, pass, and kick, which everyone's seen, and the joke's old, but he looked like he was about 72
That joke
72
never gets old.
Old.
That picture will always make me laugh, where he's just a giant amongst children.
And then it's funny because he like didn't grow from there.
He just stayed that size.
Grew out. Yes.
Well, I don't know. He was a pretty big kid.
Yes, he was.
Like, yeah. He was man-sized. I'll tell you that. All right. Well, I've been told something about feet is around. Something about feet goes around.
It's not enough to fill a break.
Ah, sure it is.
I'll make it enough.
Don't worry. I can chunk up that thing.
Okay.
All right. We'll at least attempt it. All right. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.